Hi, everyone, and welcome back to our podcast, Our Two Cents Let's Chat. Like every time, I am joined by Kirtana. How are you, Kirtana?
I'm just fine. How are you?
I'm also just fine. That's great. We're both just fine.
Wait, can we talk about something real quick? I don't know why this just hit me, but apparently there's a difference between like the denotation of fine in British English and in American English. In the sense that, like, apparently it's offensive. Like, you know how here, like, you can say it's fine dining, and that means it's, like, formal, and it's, like, does it make sense what I'm saying? But apparently
yeah, I know
that's
what you
an
mean.
Offensive thing in British English. If you say something's just fine, it means it's, like, below mediocre. No, it
acceptable?
Means the opposite. Here, it means it's exceptional. There, it means it's below mediocre.
Oh, my God. Okay, well.
Okay. Continue.
A fact of knowledge I'll probably never use in my life. But anyway,
yeah.
Today's episode is all about the current status of abortion and reproductive rights in America, especially with the recently, it was pretty recent, I think, the released draft, or the leaked, I should say, draft opinion from the Supreme Court that indicated a reversal or striking down of Roe v. Wade, which was a very important case, obviously, that talked about the status of reproductive rights. And did you want to say who we're donating all the AdSense to?
Yes. So our AdSense for this episode is going to the Women's Reproductive Rights Assistant Project, their national organization, who have been working towards this cause and ensuring that people have access to contraceptives since the 1950s, actually. So way before Roe versus Wade was even a decision that came to be what it came to be. So yeah, it's really cool.
Right. Okay. And that's so that's who we're donating to today. And if, I mean, I guess just to get started, if anyone doesn't know, Roe v. Wade was a landmark decision of the SCOTUS, in which they basically ruled that the Constitution of the U.S. protects a pregnant woman's liberty to choose to have an abortion without excessive government restriction. And so that's kind of been, I think it was when, I'm trying to remember, 1973, I think it was. Yeah,
it was January 1973.
Okay, yeah, so basically the start of 1973. So for about, for almost 50 years, this Roe v. Wade has been sort of the foundation for reproductive rights, for abortion rights all over the U.S. And so when this draft opinion was leaked, it was kind of shocking to everyone, because that's the court going basically against its precedent, right? Especially, I mean, it wasn't, I guess you could call it settled law. In fact, I think it counts as settled law if it's been like a few decades at least. And so this draft opinion was, you know, everyone noticed, okay, the court's now, you know, unsettling that law and going against what it's previously said about the issue of reproductive rights in America. And so I think then the other thing is that people noticed how the court is obviously has been and is acting as more of a political bastion, and the conservatives on the court are trying to usurp sort of the their power that they're not usurp but abuse their power that they have with regards to obviously reproductive rights, when there is broad support actually for the access to abortion. I think it's a pretty large percent of the country.
70%.
Yeah.
70% of Americans, according to Gallup.
Right, which is obviously a trusted pollster. And again, 70% of Americans, not just of, you know, Democrats or liberals, but of Americans believe that.
And it's not just about being like pro-choice or pro-life. Like, it's 70% of Americans who just genuinely think the government shouldn't be involved in any aspect regarding reproductive rights, and that it's a private decision, et cetera.
And so I think that was kind of everything that had happened, like per se with regards to what actually happened. But then I think the implications of that, people started to notice, as people will, that there are other implications, such as, you know, different cases that had been believed to be, you know, kind of settled law, but, you know, if you're taking Roe v. Wade as a precedent, or this action on Roe v. Wade by the Supreme Court as a precedent, are they settled law? And so I think that was also another thing that a lot of people had noticed, you know, had applied it to their own situations with other things like, I'm trying to remember what was the thing people were saying, you know, if they come for this, they're going to come for that, which is already a very flawed
gay marriage.
Yeah,
gay marriage.
A very flawed perspective, kind of, really.
Of the Obergefell v. Hodges case, and there's a chance that's going to get overturned too. So.
Right. And so I think that was, did you want to continue?
Yeah, so like Vivek was saying, in early May, there was a leak of this draft that Justice Samuel Alito had, drafted up, I guess. And I don't think this has ever happened before, this sort of leak at this scale, at this federal scale. And obviously it was very alarming to a lot of people, as it was to me, for sure. And I think, every episode that we've put out thus far has always talked about how everything in this country is virtually falling apart. And this was just like the cherry on top, I feel like. And I think it sounds freaking crazy. Like, just the fact that, I don't know, just, and all of it just sounds crazy. Like, it sounds almost like we're living in some dystopian world, like we're in the Hunger Games or some shit, and it's like, genuinely, right, like, our rights or our liberties as American people are being stripped left and right. And, again, we're all overcome with this overwhelming sense of helplessness, and no one really knows what to do about it. But yeah, going back to the draft legislation, in it, Alito basically says it's not even really about Roe versus Wade to begin with. From his perspective, he says that it never should have, the landmark ruling that they had come to in that case 50 years ago or so, he completely denies it. He says it never should have happened. It doesn't make sense constitutionally. Whatever implications that they based Roe versus Wade off of, well, he claims that no such thing was explicitly mentioned in the Constitution. So really, it was always unlawful, and abortion should have never been really legalized, whether state to state or federally. And like Vivek was saying, at the end of the day, Roe versus Wade, even in 1973, since then, it has never actually been codified into federal law. At the end of the day, it's important that we recognize that all that the Supreme Court can do is they can pass a ruling, but whether that's enforced or not is in the hands of legislators and in the hands of the executive. And so obviously this is a very state to state varying case, and now there is no sort of federal law that has any sort of regulations or restrictions regarding abortion. Yeah, exactly. It's just a ruling.
It's,
and
just
even
a
now,
constitutional,
I know politicians like AOC have come out and said something like, it's just a draft, we don't know whether it's going to be enforced or not, et cetera, et cetera. But just wildly speaking, I think I've talked about this, or touched on this at least, on, we've had another episode regarding this, and more so like focusing on a woman's autonomy and sort of reproductive autonomy, et cetera, et cetera. And it's as simple as, at the end of the day, virtually is that this is going to obviously have an impact on our society, and especially on, you know, women, of course. But at the end of the day, people are going to go out and get abortions regardless of a Supreme Court ruling. They have been doing it before Roe, and it's been continuing to go on after Roe, because, you know, some states are still very restrictive regarding abortion, and it'll continue on after this, even if this draft does, you know, become official. And I feel like if it has already garnered this much support, I can't imagine that it's going to get changed, or that there's going to be any sort of amendment to the draft. I think what we saw is ultimately is what is going to get passed. And maybe that sounds a little bit defeatist and pessimistic, but like, come on, he wrote 98 pages, and it wouldn't make sense
it's
that
also
they
realistic
completely realign their votes and draft up a new ruling. So ultimately what will happen is what will happen. Everyone Sorry, continue. I was going to say, ultimately, at the end of the day, it really is in the hands of our legislators to either codify Roe into law, or, you know, we're going to continue on the state-to-state basis. And I also know that Oklahoma, at the beginning of this year, has completely banned abortion, regardless of any prior sort of exemptions like incest or rape or et cetera, completely full-out banned abortion. And even that was considered too severe, and that was expected to be ruled unlawful. But after we saw the draft that had been leaked, you know, anything is plausible at this point. And again, like I said, abortions are unpreventable. Like, they will be happening regardless of what happens regarding this ruling and regarding this case. But obviously it is going to be affecting the minorities. It is going to be affecting the disabled. It is going to be affecting those who live below the poverty line, because not all of us can book a Southwest plane and go all the way to California to get an abortion and then seek out, you know, healthcare there. And again, it's a screwed up system. Again, like, there's no point that makes this conducive in any way. Like, for example, we have a flawed healthcare system on one hand, and it is getting more and more expensive and inflated by the day regarding our current circumstances within foreign relations and et cetera, et cetera. So healthcare is out of the question. Now you're like, you know what I mean? It's all just going to shit. And then we continue to face things like the gender wage gap. And so it all just makes it impossible for women. And this is just another, it's obviously more than, but also at the end of the day, it's just another roadblock. It's another barrier.
Well, and like you said, Alito made it clear in his quote reasoning in his opinion that, like, you know, Roe was the legal protections for it were exceptionally weak, I think he even said, and that all of that the original decision had, like, damaging consequences. And he said basically that it wasn't rooted, I think, the right to an abortion.
Yeah, ultimately he was saying that even whatever ruling they had come up with in Roe versus Wade was ineffectual, and at the end of the day it was just ultimately unconstitutional based on his interpretation of the Constitution, et cetera, et cetera. And, like, it's all, like, at the end of the day, what I've had this, like, one teacher, or, like, not even a teacher, but I feel like something that people just generally say is that, like, you can just keep, like, nothing is ever going to be perfect. And for that time period in 1973, if Roe was the best they could have come up with, and it was the best that they could have come up with. And now we're here, and so many people across the nation have been dependent on that, have been dependent on the ruling of Roe. They have been dependent on the sort of confidence and comfort that Ruth Bader Ginsburg had provided them. And now she's gone, and now this is going to get overturned, most likely. So it's all just going to shit. And obviously, even then, it could have been perfected. There were obviously loopholes to the case or to the ruling. And even now, even with his argument, with Alito's argument and his draft, there are obviously a billion loopholes. It's just never going to get perfect. My main thing is sort of like, what are they going to do now? Because everything's already been sort of, everything's played out the way exactly, in exactly the way conservatives would have imagined for it to play out. So it's like, the question is actually, what now? Like,
Well, and like you said, I mean, like, a highly disproportionate percentage of abortions, or of the abortions that are being carried out are and recorded are for minorities and minority women. So it's quite clearly a ploy that is racist and sexist in nature, sexist obviously in the obvious ways, but also racist in the fact that it's unclear, or it's clear that there's unequal deployment of its consequences on the people with regards to race. And then the other part is that it's the thing that people say a lot nowadays, I feel like, or at least I've heard it a lot, which is that, like, you know, a pregnancy that is a pregnancy can be more dangerous than an abortion, right? The whole thing.
Not, it can be, it actually it is in the US. It's much safer here to go through with an abortion procedure than it is to deliver, whether via C-section or, you know, normally. There are way more complications that could go on with a regular childbirth experience than there are with an abortion procedure. Just actually scientifically speaking.
Right. So even when you consider that, it's hard to see this sort of like, quote, moral position that people take when they say, you know, like, oh, abortion is, it's not only dangerous for the baby, all this poor soul that you're murdering. It's not just that. They're also claiming this utterly false thing also, that it's somehow this huge danger to the person who's carrying the baby. And it's like, well, I mean,
let's just talk about how the people who are making these claims have never gotten an abortion themselves. Mm-hmm. They're most likely not a healthcare provider. They're just speaking out of their mm-hmm. ass, and that's absolutely fine. But at the end of the day, also, we need to acknowledge that abortion providers, there is a certain protocol they are entitled to sort of go through when giving an abortion by law, state by state. Like, of course, any medical provider or any healthcare provider or any medical professional will tell you, there are, like, they will tell you, hey, this is how this is going to work, this is what the procedure is going to do, here are the complications. No one is just going out giving abortions left and right, you know what I mean? So there's obviously a set of rituals that one has to go through before right. getting an abortion. And at the end of the day, isn't this all about autonomy? Like, mm-hmm. the person who is getting the abortion can decide for themselves whether it is worth it or not. Who are we again to say, oh no, this is too dangerous, this is not for you? Excuse right. me, it's their decision. Isn't that what this entire thing is about? Like, who are these, like...
And like you said, no one is going out and getting, you know, abortions left and right, because it is in itself an inherently difficult decision to make.
Like, exactly. No one, there is not a single person anywhere that I can imagine where they're just like, oh, I'm just gonna like have an abortion for fun. You know what I mean? They're making that decision for a reason. They obviously have been informed of the complications mm-hmm. of whatever it is, whether of the pregnancy or of the abortion process itself. They've been informed and they're going through with it. It's a very right. clinical, very procedural process right. that has, at the end of the day, ultimately nothing to do with faith, nothing to do with any other sort of external component, except for the person who's getting the abortion and their healthcare provider. It's between them. So mm-hmm. I don't know.
And it's, again, it's not even, I really don't, even if you say, okay, all right, you can have an argument with these people, which really you can't have an argument, because it's like they're just trying to, you know, throw all their whatever emotion or how they, whatever they want to, into defending the fact that, oh, this should be illegal. But like, even if you were to try to sit down and logically analyze, which again is almost impossible, these arguments that these people are saying, again, it goes back to the logical side of these arguments just doesn't make sense. Like,
it's not, it's illogical. There's no logic. It's just people saying things for the sake of saying them. And I don't even think, quote unquote, like pro-lifers actually know what they're fighting for or what they're speaking on behalf of.
No.
They just, I think it's like a, it's like a, it's almost like a clickbaity term now. Like, you just say you're pro-life to provoke people or to spark yeah. some sort of controversial conversation. But there's, it's baseless. It's like draconian is how I would describe. It's just, I can't even...
Yeah.
But like Vivek was saying earlier, this is obviously something that transcends to so many other aspects of our society, legally, culturally, socially, however you want to see it. Because like I said, in his draft, Alito wasn't even just talking about, like, mm-hmm. his thing isn't even like, he wasn't even explicitly being anti-abortion. He was more so just saying, hey, like, the fundamentals that have led right. way for Roe versus Wade, those fundamentals that those people so, like, whatever, have quoted or have claimed are the basis for Roe versus Wade, like, none of those components are implicit or explicitly mentioned in the Constitution. And what he's talking about there is, he's ultimately talking about privacy. And privacy is obviously something that transcends to all different sorts of cases, including same-sex marriage, including owning corporations and private enterprise, regarding your sexuality and your gender identity, et cetera, et cetera, which is all, or even more recently, we've been, I mean, this has always existed, but I would say over the last few months, we've seen an even more intense attack on trans athletes and their role in sporting competitions and games and et cetera, and the Olympics and whatnot. So all of this is now on the line. And another thing that we are constantly seeing is there's no balance. Just recently, 192 House Republicans actually voted against funding for the baby formula shortage that we, again, in the U.S. are experiencing. Baby formula is at the, everyone knows this. It's as simple as, this is something that's essential for a kid's survival and for their nutrition, but we're against that.
Right.
You would think the pro-lifers would want healthy living babies, but no.
Yeah, and with their whole message of, you know, the baby's life matters. Yeah. Well, what about the baby's life now? I mean, you have a chance to prove that you actually think that, and you're not.
And this vote happened right after the draft was leaked. So it's like, it just goes to show, even they, firstly, they're a bunch of hypocrites. They don't even know where they stand. Like, I don't get it. And it's, at the end of the day, it's about, again, it's about balance. Fine, you don't want abortion. Then what are you doing to balance that out? How are you providing maternal health care? How are you providing maternal and paternal leaves for people? What are you doing to take care of a woman in terms of her postpartum and prepartum experiences? Are you offering her any sort of therapy, any sort of mental health facilities? No, there's none of that. You just want a woman to put her body through something she doesn't want her body to go through. And then you want her to deal with the consequences. You won't even help her out by giving her access to things like baby formula. Come on.
Right. It's just, it's insane. It's actually, I mean, the, it doesn't even, like I said, I just keep going back to that. Like, there's no way, these people are so insane.
And it's not just themselves
into thinking that they have this huge, high up moral position that's supported by logic, when in reality, their argument is weak. It's not logically supported. And it's not moral because obviously, as we just, as you just said, with the baby formula vote, it's not like they're trying to keep the baby alive.
Yeah. There's no sort of funding being provided to any sort of childcare at all, in the slightest, whether it's in terms of food, shelter, clothing. Like, let's, again, we've talked about this before. Let's just step back and take a look at what our adoption system looks like, what our foster care system looks like. Mm-hmm. It's freaking falling apart, and they don't care. Like, fine, okay, you don't even have to look at something that's as institutional as that. Again, let's bring it back to the baby formula. Next thing you know, it's diapers, then it's bassinets, and it's like, I don't understand all this. I just don't understand.
And it's the same thing that also people say, which is that you're pro-life until the baby's born. And then what? You just like forget about the fact that that this baby is now here, and you claimed that suddenly you were gonna, you know, support this baby living a full life. I mean, you don't fund people taking a paid paternal or maternal leave. You don't fund there's no student loan forgiveness, so that baby that's eventually going to become, hopefully, someone who wants to go to college is going to be discouraged by the fact that they have to take on these huge loans. You don't fund the fact that you don't fund universal health care, which is, you know, a safeguard in case that baby is sick, or in case that baby, when it grows into a kid, is, you know, has some injury or disease or something. So like, where is this reasoning coming from that is pro-life? And it really is, and that even, like, tokenized thing of that it's not pro-life, it's anti-choice. That's all it is.
And even after everything we've just said, is it really so hard to imagine why someone wouldn't want to put a kid out into this world? Like, or even give birth in the U.S.? Mm-hmm. Like, literally everything is falling apart. There's no sort of security regarding anything economically, government-wise, every societally, socially. Like, what confidence do you think potential mothers even have, like, in putting their baby out into a safe and secure world? There is none. So are we really surprised at the rate of the current rate of abortion? No, like, no one should be. And
even our last episode, it was about school shootings. Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Like that, another facet of society that is, I mean, that's not even about something like you're giving care to someone. That's a simple thing of kids are being murdered in schools and you won't do anything because you're too afraid that your, you know, AR-15s that you use supposedly to hunt deer are not going to be there for you.
Exactly. That's what I mean. There is no sort of security left or right. And so again, is it really so hard for you to imagine why someone would go for an abortion? So again, that's the thing. Sometimes it's not always so, it doesn't always have to be so intense. Like, you know what I mean? A woman can choose to have an abortion simply right. because she isn't ready, simply because she doesn't want to have a kid. And that's, right. that should always be a choice that's open, because why put a kid into the world who is first unwanted, right. and then secondly, who this world cannot support. This country cannot support that kid.
Right. I mean, we barely can support what we exactly. already have, like the population that we already have.
Yeah.
It's just, it's really crazy. In fact, I think it was, oh gosh, I don't even know, maybe like this, around the 16th, I think, maybe of May, or I'm not sure when it was, but after this, when they tried to codify abortion rights in this, I think you maybe mentioned it earlier, there was a bill that was brought that would have codified abortion into federal law, and it failed during a Senate vote last week, and because obviously the filibuster. And so even there, you go back to Joe Manchin, you go back to Kyrsten Sinema. I don't know if she said, I think she was one of the
opposed
to getting rid of the filibuster. But
she,
But I mean, regardless of who it is, let's take Joe Manchin, right? Joe Manchin is never going to have to worry about an abortion. Joe Manchin is never going to have to worry about, you know, about something related to reproductive health care, because Joe Manchin is never going to have to live that experience. So why is he standing in front of the filibuster and saying that, oh no, this is a democratic ideal, when this, the filibuster is about as young, I mean, it's not an American ideal or something that has been enshrined in our democracy or in our democratic system since the beginning of time or the beginning of America. It's relatively new when you look at it in comparison to the rest of our democratic systems. So where does he get this audacity to stand in front of it and say, I'm going to protect this, but I'm not going to protect kids dying or women being able to have, you know, a choice over whether or not they're forced to have this baby. And that, I mean, it's not just women, but it is, I mean, let's be honest, this is about controlling women's bodies.
Absolutely. And even Sinema came out and put out a statement the day of or the day after, and it was her same old spiel of, I am a woman and I am bisexual and I am et cetera, et cetera. And I have been supporting this cause for my entire career, but like, this isn't what it's about, and we shouldn't get involved, and codifying this into law is something that shouldn't be done at the federal level, and on and on and on. I'm like, do you even understand what you're saying? Like, again, where is this tokenization coming from? And again, let's just talk about the hypocrisy, this thing of like even conservatives being all acting as if, like, you know, it's in the Constitution or it's not, it's nothing. Like, they are the ones that are constantly advocating for the use of the filibuster, but nowhere in the Constitution is the filibuster mentioned. And if I'm completely honest, Democrats are as bad or even worse than Republicans are at this point. They have not done a single productive, constructive thing all year. Yeah. For the past 2 years, for I don't know. Like,
it's all just, like, everyone has responsibility. Everyone who's been elected to these bastions of our democracy.
We talk about this every episode, but if I see another Joe Biden statement, I will actually rip my hair out. I will.
How do you tweet that? It's time to mend the soul of it. You mend it.
He's like, we must protect whatever. I'm like, just do it.
I don't understand. I just don't understand. God. It's
so frustrating. And like, this is something that we're saying as like, again, I feel like this is just our frustration. Like, could you imagine how actual mothers are feeling right now? That's just
Exactly.
crazy to me. I, like, even for this, there are so many mental health crises that have been going on since this draft leak, I'm sure, because even I felt some of it. This, like, need to, like, I'm sure everyone can relate to this, but control is such an important thing for each of us as individuals. And when you feel like, when you feel out of control, or you feel like you have no control over something that's yours, that's a horrible, horrible feeling. And that can, that can lead to so many harmful stereotypes of self-harm, of wanting to sort of be abusive to everyone and to everything around you, and sort of just lash out because you feel like you have no control of your body. And as a woman right now, I feel like I don't have any control over my body because I am, I can't even be empowered to make decisions regarding my healthcare myself without the government intervening. And that's just coming as like, again, just like and a 17-year-old who's actually, you know, I've never firsthand experienced any of the problems that women who are currently seeking an abortion are experiencing. So again, we're just looking at a whole lot of loss of life for no good reason.
And the people that that annoy me the most are the people that would contradict what we just said about like, oh, well, the Democrats can't do anything. They're non-power. First of all, let's just break this down like audience by audience. First of all, if you haven't taken like a gov class or haven't learned anything about how iron triangles and everything work, iron triangles, you can step out on it. And second, if you do, then you should know that the FDA, which is an executive bureaucratic agency, could impose strict regulations on whether or not they can provide, you know, the pill or plan B or things like that. And if I think states have already put restrictions on those regulations of the FDA, but legal experts could also have also then argued that the DOJ, the Department of Justice, could then challenge those laws since federal regulations supersede state policy. So there are things to do. Like, it's not like he's just sitting there like a lame duck because he has to be. No, he's sitting there like a lame duck because he doesn't have the courage. He doesn't have the courage to get his people to go after, you know, all these solutions like that, you know. It's crazy. It's allowing clinics to establish themselves on federal lands. That's another great thing he could do, but even that he won't do.
He's so stupid.
It's just the whole, everyone sucks.
That's what it always comes down to, right? Like, there's so much that could be done and nothing is getting done and nothing has been getting done. If this is some like stupid first grade slow and steady wins the race mindset, like, no, like, just get over yourself. It's not.
You're not a tortoise.
Again, I'm just saying every day, day in and day out, whether it's one thing or the other, we're just experiencing so much loss of life day to day. And it's like, how is no one noticing that? And not to mention, COVID is still a thing. And like, people are still losing their lives via that. We're still amidst a global pandemic, whether, you know, regulations have become less strict or whatever. It's still something that's going on. And now we see all this other stuff and news about like a monkeypox, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, what is what is even and happening?
There's nothing. Like, there's no solution. People aren't doing anything. Can we talk about how quick Canada, like, let's talk about that, for example, for a second. Like, Justin Trudeau by no means is an angel. He has done some pretty shady things in the past, for sure. But it was just this. No, it was just, it has just been over a week since the Robb Elementary event has happened. And mind you, there hasn't been a mass shooting the scale of whatever happened at Robb Elementary in Canada for some time now. I think it's been over a decade. But still, Canada looked south of the border and they were immediately like, yeah, we don't want that to get replicated here. Immediately banned assault rifles and AR-15s completely. The sale and trade in less than a week. Let's talk about that for a second. And I don't care. We can sit around here and be making all these arguments of, oh, well, we're more populated than they are. Like whatever, et cetera, et cetera. What does that mean? So what if we're more populated?
So what?
We're talking about the passage of legislation. Like, I don't.
Oh.
It's
and
a
just
very...
by the way, again, if you try to dismantle that logically, which no one should ever do, but if you do, the passage of legislation has nothing to do with how many people. It has to do with percentages, right? Percent, not the quantity of people and how many people support this. It's percentages. And percentages, believe it or not, are the same. You can calculate percentages for like two people versus for like 2 million people. It's the same thing.
I think Vivek is losing his...
And it's the same thing of what you said earlier. Like, obviously, I'm not affected by it as much as you. You're not affected by it as much as someone who is actually seeking, you know, a reproductive care. So what is...
That's what I'm saying. And this is like, this is me weeks later sort of being almost sort of like apathetic to the situation, because I'm just like, there's nothing that I can do aside from listen. I can be an active participant and donate. That's really it. I can continue to be educated on it. I can contact my legislators, but aside from that, there's no other direct action I can be taking, which is, so I've reached that point, and so now I'm just almost numb to it a little bit. I'm almost like, I don't know what can be done. Like, I just don't know, because the people who are supposed to get things done refuse to, as they have been since Biden's term has started.
It's just, it's the thing, like, I've heard this before. I don't know who said it. I wish I could. I think it was
probably me. Just say it.
Maybe it was you. But it's that simple thing of, like, why is the government trying to make it harder to live? Like, to live.
Yeah.
Why is the government making it hard? Not even trying. Why is the government making it harder to live? And it's not even about, you know, like, abortion or school shootings. It's simple things. Like, the fact that, like, urban centers are...
Baby formula!
Yeah, baby formula! How easy of a lineup is that to get behind? Baby formula.
Anyone, a two-year-old could tell you this, that their younger sibling, that their one-year-old sister or brother needs baby formula to survive. A two-year-old
would like to eat.
Could tell you that.
They would like to eat.
And there's so much stigma around it. Like, no one has any... Again, we can make 10,000 episodes regarding this matter, because no one understands how stigmatizing it is to be a mother in this country to begin with. Whether it's a debate about breastfeeding or bottle feeding, like, we can go on and on and on and on. And there have virtually been any sort of mental health resources provided to women, or specifically to even mothers. I saw this thing the other day, or I read this thing the other day, which, I mean, it wasn't surprising in the slightest, but it's also just genuinely so hard for women to get healthcare in this country to begin with, because so often things like clinical trials and medical testing and all of that is more often than not primarily experimented on white men, and it's tested on their anatomy, which is obviously very, very different from a woman's anatomy completely. Again, like, a seventh grader could tell you that.
Right.
And so when women do seek out healthcare, whether it's reproductive healthcare or otherwise, it could be a simple flu, we're so often turned down because so much of our anatomy and our physiology has been left unexplored, because it's always about the white men, let's face it. And even from something like that to something like this, it all adds up, and it all matters, regardless of how important or significant one may be over the other. Like, it all just goes to show that at the end of the day, actually no one cares about what a woman is going through, ever, at any point in her life. And this is just like a continuation of that. All it's doing is continuing that stigma, and resources are continuing to be not offered to women. It's just a really shitty, shitty time to be alive.
Yeah. I wish we could put a happy spin on the end of the episode, but
no, that's really it. And I'm trying to think, there's probably so many other things I could we could talk about just, oh,
That's the
what
thing we
was the
think of
thing?
at the end of every episode.
No, yeah, but I thought there's a couple more things actually. But the first thing that I was going to say is I forgot. You made me forget. But did you actually, going back to the leak for a
What?
second, did you actually see that thing of like, I'm not going to say it's a conspiracy theory, but there's like an inclination to believe that the person who actually, because now there's obviously a huge investigation going on into the leak, which is really funny because have you seen that one cartoon that saw like the Supreme, or not even a cartoon, the Supreme Court has obviously the justices and people who work directly for the court and who work in the federal government have come out and made statements saying this is like a violation of our privacy, which is like so ironic. Because like you feel violated just because your draft got leaked. Imagine what women across the country feel like when you're
I know, yeah.
literally
Imagine,
controlling their
just
uterus and
imagine.
their reproductive systems. But again, hypocrites.
Oh.
But even going beyond that, now there's obviously a huge investigation going into this leak and whatever. And there's been some sort of lead, and this isn't new. I think it's this lead has been, or this conclusion has been reached a couple weeks ago too, that it was actually a conservative judge who caused the leak, because it was obviously something that was internal. And yeah, the news is, I mean, the news is that it was actually a conservative judge that leaked the draft, because by leaking it, it almost, I guess the theory is that it solidifies the draft and the whatever the statements and the theory that the draft has made.
Oh, yeah, Court of
Yes,
Public Opinion.
because exactly. And so there's no, you know, being swayed by the public anymore, because that's obviously what the court is leaning towards, which again, I think is all interesting.
I'd actually seen the opposite, the
Yes.
predictable thing
Yes.
of like,
So
oh,
at
it's Sonia Sotomayor. Okay,
yes.
well.
So I and I think it makes more sense that like I think it makes more sense that a liberal judge would have been the one to have caused the leak, because then, you know, then you are seeing public opinion sway the whatever the opinions that have been stated in the draft by Alito and et cetera, et cetera. And obviously that then gives legislators some time to codify Roe into law, and I think that would make more sense. But I think even a certain conservative judge has come out and said that like this was something that I've been tipped off with, and it was so and so that actually leaked it, which I feel like even reading into this is like, does this feel like a game to you people? Like, does this feel like a fun game of like, I
I
don't know,
know.
like does it feel like a fun game of chess where you're just like moving pieces as you please and just to see what the outcome would be? Like it's
It's that whole thing of what you said. People are more upset. Let's be honest. Who are we talking about? White women and white men. Certain white women and white men, conservatives mainly, are more upset that the court was violated than the fact that in the future women could be even at another level a violation could be done. It's that same thing of you care so much. You care so much about the fact that it was leaked, and you have absolutely nothing to say about the fact. And it's the same people that won't respond if you ask them, well, what about, maternal mortality? What about, babies who are born prematurely and there's some risk for them? What about some health complications that could be there because of the mother? What about safeguards for rape and incest? It's the same people that will see those questions and then just look the other way and cling to their one statement of, I think abortion is murder. I think abortion is murder. I think no one cares.
Let's also talk about, it is actually very rare that, not very rare, but I will say it is rare for most women, if they're seeking an abortion, they seek it in their first trimester. It's very rare that there is a mother that waits till she's in her second or third trimester, and then that's when she seeks abortion. Because usually if you like it's very early on that people sort of get an idea whether they want to have a baby or not, whether they want to give birth or not. And in the first trimester, that baby is not a baby, it is a fetus. Again, this is basic biology. If abortions do happen in the second or third trimester, it is usually because giving birth is would be a threat to the mother's life or to the woman's life. And that is why an abortion is carried out. And even then, there are so many procedures such as taking a pill, where you don't even have to go in and go through with any sort of surgery or any sort of incision into your body, you know, in the first trimester, because it is a fetus, and because that fetus does not have any means to survive or breathe or live, or it doesn't have any functioning organs on its own. It's just like extra tissue, let's be honest. And that's not even me being insensitive. It's just basic biology. I was watching this TikTok the other day, and I just sort of, her name's Victoria Hammett, I want to say. She's been on my For You page since like 2020, like on and off constantly. Anyway, she was doing some podcast or some debate with she's pro-choice, and she was doing a debate with some pro-life people of her age. And who are all the pro-life people? They were all dudes. Like, why are you there? And this he's this white dude, but he has an afro, and he's telling this girl off, and he's all like, no, you don't understand. Abortion is murder, even if it's in the first trimester.
You don't understand.
You don't even, again, this has, also, have you seen that other TikTok of this news reporter? I think it was for CNN, where she went off, but she was like, she was succinct and she was good, and she was like, it has nothing to do with you people of faith. Like, literally, be religious, be Christian, be Catholic.
Who asked you to stick your nose in here?
Do your thing. Allow for the Bible to lead you in your life. It has no place in my life. Like, it doesn't.
You let it lead you, not let it lead us all. Yes,
exactly. Let it, like,
I cannot tell you how many TikToks I've seen since you mentioned TikTok. It reminded me. I cannot tell you. I must have seen at least 15 TikToks of the same thing. A conservative goes on some news show or talk show. They pull out a picture of a fetus. They say, do you really think this is a baby, a human baby? They're like, yes. And then they're like, oh, well, it's a dolphin fetus.
Oh, my God.
How are you this idiotic? Just even from the standpoint of, it's happened to at least 15 people before you. How do you not know that that's a possibility that it could happen to you? But that's like also the same thing of like, okay, well, they say they think it's a baby. They have to stick to that.
If you're getting so emotional by some fetus in some woman's womb, then how are you not getting emotional by kids getting shot at in school? Just
exactly.
Saying. Just
and it's
saying.
That same thing of like, they just don't know what their argument is, because when you think about it, they're really trapped if they do, trapped if they don't. Because if they say, no, I don't think it's a fetus, then what if it is a fetus? Well, then they just destroyed their argument.
My main thing is that I always try to emphasize, I feel like in any conversation, is that it's so important to recognize that women go through so many things over the course of their life. So many things that men, on the other hand, anatomically I'm speaking, not in like a, I'm speaking very clinically, men never have to go through. Right. Ever have to go through. And that is that is an experience that only women are familiar with. And only...
It's not an opinion.
Again,
that's
a fact. I'm saying this very clinically, very procedurally. It's just the truth. I'm not speaking cerebrally or otherwise. And for even if you look at that, that's such a... There are so many processes that happen within our body that are just personal, first of all. And it's all about it's all about the self. It's all about choice. It's all about decision making. And I don't understand where men go off thinking they have any, they're allowed to have any sort of opinion on this. You're not. Like, literally sit down, and not just men, lawmakers, whoever it is.
Right.
Like, how can you be such a generalist that you can make one law or base one ruling and say that this is somehow should or will apply to all women everywhere? That's so gross to me. And everyone faces, this is healthcare at the end of the day.
Crazy.
At its very core, like, forget all the societal arguments, it's healthcare. And okay, for even forget man or woman, healthcare actually depends person to person to person. You don't know how one person's body functions to
it's
another person's body. It's something that a basic thing that you can talk about, like medication dosage, etc., etc. So one course of treatment that works for one person will never work in the same way for another person. It just won't. We're built differently. That's how this works. So for any sort of...
It just goes back to the same thing of, like, why is the government making it harder to live?
There's no reason for any sort of generalization to be made ever. And I don't understand...
Which, again, is why pro-choice is a thing, because the whole point is to allow people to have a choice.
Mm-hmm. And that includes everything. It doesn't even have to just be specific to reproductive rights. We're talking, like, pro-choice transcends to everything. every aspect of life. And I think anyone who sort of tries to make an argument against it, or let's even look at everyone. What about when the conservatives were all "my body, my choice" for mask mandates? Again,
and the fact that they co-opted that as their little slogan. Mm-hmm. And then turned around and said the exact same thing they've been saying about abortion.
My thing is, at least that was okay. If there was like a thing there where it was like, if you don't wear a mask, you're actually putting others around you at risk of death, might I mention. How is this affecting you? It's like, if anything, it's affecting the woman who is getting the abortion. It's affecting, that's it. That's the only person. Like, this is a very self-based decision to come to. There are so many complications that a woman has to go through when going through with childbirth. Again, postpartum, prepartum, all of the symptoms, whether it's depression, whether it's, do you know how prone women are to developing bipolar disorder in the process of giving childbirth? It's insane. No one pays attention to these things. No one pays attention to women's healthcare needs. And it's like, this touches so many different subjects, this one ruling, and it's basically paying no mind to all of these interconnected issues. And like I said, even before, this now has the potential to overturn the legalization of same-sex marriage, which again is crazy, because why are we telling people who or who they can't get married to? We're living in a society where people have sex with dolphins. Did you know this was a thing? This is a thing.
I did actually know that was a thing. It was the most disgusting thing I think I've ever read. Or was it? I think it was a video.
I don't even know if it was a video. It was just something that I listened to about.
Oh, this guy gave an interview. He was talking about it, and he was like, he was talking about it unabashedly. And I was just watching the video, and
let's not get into it. I'm basically saying that societally speaking, we're more accepting of a person getting married to a tree, to a piece of wood, than we are of a person getting married to another person. It's like, I don't understand.
It's, and not even like same-sex marriage, interracial marriage, like everything.
Okay, this has been so chaotic. Like, there was no reason for this to be as chaotic as it was. I was hoping that we would have our thoughts a little bit more organized, but this has been so discombobulated. I don't even know if we made our point well. Like, I think it was just such a random collection of thoughts, and it was a lot.
No, but I think if you got it, you got it, and if you didn't, you
did. Yeah, I agree with you. Your voice kind of sped up there, and I hope that's what it's like in post-production, because you sounded like a character from like Alvin and the Chipmunks. That was really funny. Okay.
Please.
So, like I said at the beginning, all the AdSense for this episode is once again going to the Women's Reproductive Rights Assistance Project, or RAP, which I think is kind of funny. I think RAP, yeah.
RAP.
And if you can, of course, donate on your own, as always. And right now, really, the most important thing you can be doing is contacting your legislators. I think actually by the time this episode comes out, though, I think there's going to be a more concrete decision regarding the draft that was leaked. And because really how the Supreme Court works is they usually sort of assemble in December, and then they start working and looking through all the cases and interpreting the Constitution and yada, yada, yada. And they usually release...
taking forever and being stupid.
Yeah, and they release their rulings early June, I believe. And so
okay, that's all. Bye.
That's all.
Say bye. Oh my god, this girl, she left.